Listening to the International Children's Arts Network. I'm Sarah, and I have a story for you by a Danish author named Hans Christian Andersen. It's called The Snowdrop. It was wintertime. The air was cold and the wind was sharp. But within the closed doors, it was warm and comfortable. Within the closed doors lay a flower. It lay in a bulb under the snow-covered earth. One day, rain fell. The drops penetrated through the snowy-covered ground into the earth and touched the flower bulb and talked of its bright world above. Soon, the sunbeam pierced its way into the snow to the root, and within the root, there was a stirring. "Come in," said the flower. "I cannot," said the sunbeam. "I am not strong enough to unlock the door. When summer comes, I shall be strong." "When will it be summer?" asked the flower. She repeated this question each time the new sunbeam made its way down to her. But the summer was yet far away in the distance. The snow still lay upon the ground, and there was a coat of ice on the water every night. "What a long time it takes! What a long time it takes," said the flower. "I feel a stirring and a striving within me. I must stretch myself and unlock the door. I must get out. I must nod a good morning to summer. And what a happy time that will be." The flower stirred and stretched itself within the thin rind which the water had softened from without. And the snow and the earth had been warmed, and the sunbeam had knocked at it. And it shot forth under the snow with a greenish-white blossom on a green stalk, with narrow, thick leaves, which seemed to want to protect it. The snow was cold, but pierced by the sunbeam. Therefore, it was easy enough to get through it. And now the sunbeam came with a greater strength than before. "Welcome, welcome," sang every ray, and the flower lifted itself high over the snow into the brighter world. The sunbeams caressed and kissed it, so that it opened altogether, white as snow, and ornamented with green stripes. It bent its head in joy and humility. "Beautiful flowers," said the sunbeams, "how graceful and delicate you are. You are the first. You are the only one. You are our love. You are the bell that rings out for summer. Beautiful summer over country and town. All the snow will melt. The cold winds will be driven away. We shall rule, all become green, and then you will have companions. But for now, you're the first, so graceful and delicate." That was a great pleasure. It seemed as if the air were singing and sounding, as if rays of light were piercing through the leaves and the stalks of the flower. There it stood, so delicate, so easily broken, and yet so strong in its young beauty. It stood there in its white dress with its green stripes and made a summer. But there was a long time yet for summertime. Clouds hid the sun, and bleak winds were blowing. "You have come too early," said the wind and weather. "We have still the power, and you shall feel it, and give it up to us. You should have stayed quietly at home and not run out and make a display of yourself. Your time has not come yet." It was cutting cold. The days had no sunlight at all. It was a weather that might break such a little flower into two with the cold. But the flower had more strength than she herself knew of. She was strong in joy and in faith in the summer, which would be sure to come, which had been announced by her deep longing and confirmed by the warm sunlight. And so she remained standing in confidence in the snow in her white garment, bending her head even while snowflakes fell thick and heavy, and the icy wind swept over her. "You'll break," they said. "And fade, and fade. What did you want out here? Why did you let yourself be tempted? The sunbeam only made a game of you, and now you have what you deserve. You summer gawk?" "Summer gawk," she repeated in the cold morning hour. "Oh, summer gawk!" cried some children, rejoicing. "Yonder stands one. How beautiful, how beautiful! The first one, the only one!" These words did the flower so much good. They seemed to her like warm sunbeams. In her joy, the flower did not even feel when she was broken off. It laid in the child's hand and was kissed by the child's mouth and carried into a warm room and looked on by gentle eyes and put into water. How strengthening! How invigorating! The flower thought she had suddenly come upon summer. The daughter of the house, an intelligent little girl, was confirmed that she had a friend who also confirmed too. He was studying for an examination for an appointment. "He shall be my summer gawk," she said. And she took the delicate flower and laid it in a piece of scented paper, on which verses were written, beginning with summer gawk and ending with summer gawk. "My friend, be winter gawk." She had twitted him with summer. Yes, all of this was in verses. The paper was folded up like a letter, and the flower was folded up in the letter too. It was all dark around her, as dark as those days that she was hidden in a bulb. The flower went forth on her journey and laid in the post bag and was pressed and crushed, which was not at all pleasant. But that soon, too, came to an end. When the journey was over, the letter was opened and read by a dear friend. How pleased he was! He kissed the letter, and it was laid with its enclosure of verses in a box, in which there were many beautiful verses, but all of them without flowers. She was the first, the only one, as the sunbeams had called her, and it was a pleasant thing to think that. She had time enough, moreover, to think about it. She thought of it while the summer had passed away, and the long winter went by, and the summer came again, before she appeared once more. But now the young man was not pleased at all. He took a hold of the letter very roughly and threw the verses away, so the flower fell on the ground. Flat and faded, she certainly was. But why should she be thrown on the ground? Still, it was better to be here than in a fire where the verses and the paper were being burnt to ashes. But what happened? What happens so often? The flower had made a gawk of him. That was the jest. And the girl had made a fool of him. That was no jest. She had, during the summer, chosen another friend. The next morning, the sun shone upon a little flattened snowdrop that looked as if it had been painted on the floor. A small girl who was sweeping the room picked it up and laid it on the books which were open on the table, in the belief that it must have been fallen out when the room was being arranged. Again, the little flower lay among verses, printed verses, and they were better written ones. At least more money has been spent upon them. And after the years went by, the book stood upon a bookshelf, and then it was taken up by somebody to read it. It was a good book, verses and songs by an old Danish poet, which are well worth reading. The man who was now reading the book turned over a page. "Why, there's a flower," he said. "A snowdrop, a summer gawk, a poet gawk, a flower that must have been put here with meaning." And as he read the book, he thought that this flower was like the Danish author. He was a summer fool too, a poet fool. He had come too early before his time, and therefore he had to taste the sharp winds and wander about the guests from noble to noble. Like a flower in a glass of water, a flower in rhymed verses, summer fool, winter fool, fun and folly. But the first and only, the fresh young Danish poet of those days. Yes, this flower shall remain a token in the book. It must be put here with meaning. And so it was, the snowdrop was put back into the book and felt equally honored and pleased to know that there was a token in a glorious book of songs, and that he who was the first to sing and write had been also a snowdrop, had been a summer gawk, and had been looked upon a winter time as a fool. The flower understood this in her way, as we interpret everything in our way. You're listening to ICAN, and that was the story of The Snowdrop, written by Danish author Hans Christian Andersen.
You're listening to ICAN.